Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the B2B Visual Digest podcast brought to you by Fast Signs International. I'm your host, Chuck Kaler, and today we're going to talk about all things with social media. You know, the internet's the new arena for businesses and social media, and you can imagine all the different platforms available to businesses like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, you're familiar with those, but what about those other platforms like Snapchat and Periscope, YouTube, blogs and microblogs, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and more? Well, to help us understand social media and how it can be used in your business, we've invited Vanessa Davidson, Fast Signs International's new Director of Content and Communication, to our podcast today. Vanessa's got almost 10 years of experience with social media. Beginning at the beginning, she worked with another franchise company just as businesses began exploring this new area of communication. And since then, she's helped create social media plans for several companies as part of their overall public presence. Welcome to the podcast, Vanessa.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
So let's first start off by asking, why should a business participate in social media?
Well, you know, a business really participates in social media when they want to engage with their potential customers, current and potential. It's a way to build brand awareness, and it's a way to just put yourself out there. You know, and most of all, you know, your competition is there, so why shouldn't you be there as well?
Very good point, Vanessa. But what is the difference between selling and, quote unquote, building relationships on social media? And how and where do you draw the line when you're speaking to those things?
Right. So building relationships on social media, you know, means you're really building that trust with those potential customers and current. You know, and you're really using honesty and sincerity when you're doing that. So directly selling to them is something that I always try to avoid in social media. That's not what they're there for. You know, your customers, you're there to connect with your audience, in an emotional way. If you're informing or entertaining, whatever you're choosing to do, you're really trying to build a following. So, I would market by selling less. You know, you're delivering relevant, valuable information, and your customers will ultimately reward you by buying from you when you're doing that.
So we kind of mentioned a few of the different platforms, the millions of different platforms available on social media. How would you create a strategy and decide on which ones to be on out of the whole myriad of ones you can choose from?
Well, I would say to create a social media strategy, you first have to understand what your goals are. You have to set your goals and ask yourself, what's the purpose of your social media efforts? Is it raising awareness, increasing sales, customer loyalty? It could be several of those. But if you're just starting out, I would start with a focus on one or two. You're going to spread yourself too thin and you won't accomplish anything if you try to do too many at once. You want to create a clear and measurable objectives based on those goals. Target the right people with the right messages. So you want to create who your potential customers are or who your current customers could be, including age, income, children, what motivates them, what do they like or dislike, and then use those personas to determine platforms you should be on. If you're currently not doing social media, again, don't jump into too many platforms at once. It's going to be too overwhelming. So start with the basics, Facebook, Twitter, create a strategy based on each platform and how your audience might use those. For example, if you are a crafting company, mm-hmm. You know, you may once you start adding those, you obviously want to be on something like Pinterest, where that's where your current and potential customers probably spend a lot of time.
Where is more appropriate for you to be on, right? If you're
right.
crafting.
So find those platforms that are appropriate for your brand.
Okay, that makes sense. And then what would be better, text or photos? I would imagine the latter. I see even more tech savvy social media platforms like Twitter had gone to more photos and even videos. What's mm-hmm. your thoughts on that?
I definitely think photos and videos are extremely important, especially when you're telling a story on social media. Social media is all about storytelling for businesses and the opportunities with that. You know, especially platforms like Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, utilizing photos obviously is their top focus. And that's why people go to those platforms. You know, platforms like Twitter, where it's more text-based, but you have those photos to go along with it, people are going to be more likely to retain that information if you have a photo to go along with that.
More engaging, I guess, too, right?
Absolutely.
If you can, you know, what's the saying? Pictures, this is, says it's 1,000 words, worth 1,000 words, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And you're definitely more likely to remember it.
Right. Sure. So how often should you adjust your strategy, and how would you go about doing that?
I would say you adjust your strategy as often as your goals and objectives change. So if something changes about the business, or if you want to branch out and add on some more goals, and the strategy should follow, you know, your strategy should set that up for your company. So, and then I would use that process that I outlined above about just understanding the goals, measurable objectives, and targeting the right people for those.
Okay. Now I know that, when people start out using social media as part of their overall business marketing plan, they're going to make some mistakes, I would guess. Right. I mean, but, what are some of those common mistakes that you can identify, that people typically make when engaging in social media for their business, and how can they navigate around that?
You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes that companies make is that they need to recognize that the customers don't necessarily care about your services, your products, your needs. They care about
themselves. They
don't? No.
What?
I know. It's crazy. They should always care about what we
want.
But, it's really about what their needs are. And so it's really about, we are addressing those customer needs. Mm-hmm. And telling those stories so that we're engaging them more, and not just selling to them, telling them they don't really care what's important to us. They care what's important to them. So making sure that we're developing content that addresses that.
We call that the WIFM, what's in it for me, right?
Exactly.
So how can you see if your audience is even seeing the content that you're posting, let alone engaging in it?
Right. I would rely on analytics, especially through the platforms. Facebook has some great analytics that you can take a look at, you know, to really see which posts are working, which aren't, which are being shared. There's a combination of Google analytics that I would look at to see if there's any website traffic being driven, through that content. And also there's a lot of social media monitoring platforms that are just really great to utilize, that have just a robust analytics to look at.
Pretty intuitive. I mean, is it pretty user friendly? Can anyone tap into these analytics and understand what they're looking at, or do they need to really rely on some expertise from somebody else?
I would say just the basics are easy to look at. Mm-hmm. I've had very small companies that just utilize the analytics that are there through Facebook. And it's really a user friendly mm-hmm. Platform.
So I know that there are tools out there, Vanessa, that can help you manage your social media. What are some good tools that folks can pursue, and how would you evaluate their overall effectiveness?
There are so many social media platforms and tools out there to use.
Right.
It's really kind of what best fits with each brand. I've worked with larger brands that we used a company called Trax, just because there was about 80,000 mentions on Twitter alone that were going unanswered.
Whoa.
So with that, we can pull all those mentions, and we were able to respond and let people know we were listening and actually address that. So a huge opportunity there that we were missing. Uh-huh. Just simply because we weren't using the right tools.
What, how do you, Trax, is that with two X's, I would imagine?
It's TRACX.
Okay, there you go.
It has a really robust analytics, but mainly what I loved about it is when you're really pulling those mentions, you can categorize them. You can say whether it's positive, negative. You can put it into a category. If it's a customer service issue, then you can, pull it over to your customer service team to answer. Mm-hmm. They just make it really easy. It's a kind of a one-stop shop. You can also post all your posts from that one. You can schedule them out.
And why is it important to make sure that you capture and address those unanswered social media posts from folks?
Yeah. So you want people to know that you're listening. As a brand, you want them to know that, even if it's something that they're not really looking for an answer, but to get something back from a brand, it really says a lot. It really means, okay, they were watching. They were listening to me. I'm important to them. So making them feel important is just a huge opportunity.
And I would think that that would make them more connected to that particular brand, right? If you are responding and engaging with them, that you make them feel important, and in turn, they would probably tend to do more business with you long term, maybe even refer the brand to someone else.
Right. Absolutely. I think you're really building that brand affinity when you're taking advantage of those opportunities. I was working with a brand that they had this girl that was posting and talking about this company. It was a restaurant brand, and she had a birthday coming up. She loved certain products. Called the store, got her table reserved, found out when she was going. She showed up, table reserved. Her favorite product was there for her, waiting on her. We created an experience for her that she had no idea, that just by, looking and listening to our customers.
How much of an impact that really makes for someone is incredible. And then making that connection, that's really good.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about making connections. I keep hearing this term sticky post. Please tell me what that is all about.
It's basically a digital sticky note. So if you have a list of posts that, sometimes those really important posts that you want people to read when they first get to your site or get to your blog or on social, when they first get there, you want them to see that. So a sticky is basically you're moving. It's a featured post. You're moving that post to the top. You're sticking it to the top so that they see that first. That's the information you want them to see.
So I don't need a bottle of hand sanitizer while I'm working social media.
No.
Okay. We're good there. Do people care about grammar and typos and things like that? Is that a big deal, or is it in the social media space just a normalcy to deal with?
I think people always care about grammar and typos. And if you don't think that they are, just spell something wrong and see how long it takes for someone to correct you. I think people look to brands as where there's more, it is a more relaxed atmosphere on social, but you still want to be professional and show that you know how to talk and write.
Well, I only ask that because, in the world of millennials, and then of course I have a 13-year-old daughter that I have to get out my Cap'n Crunch decoder pen to decipher the shorthand and emoticons. I wasn't sure if that's something that is just standard practice in social media as well, and that's okay, but it sounds like people still care about that.
I think people still care, but I think you can definitely still talk in hashtags too.
Okay. So. All right. Well, let's see what else, Vanessa. Maybe could you refer us to more resources for information if people need to go somewhere and learn more about social media that wasn't covered in today's podcast?
Yeah. If someone's just starting out or someone has a specific question, I would say just don't be afraid to Google it. There are so many articles out there that are so great and so informative that if you Google something, I guarantee there's so many results that will pop up. There is a socialmediaexaminer.com. They have a great getting started guide that you can just scroll down and review just to get some ideas to get started.
You shared an example earlier, a story about how you did a campaign that made a good impression and a great experience for the customer. What about those times it didn't work? Like, are there any times where you could have thought maybe this should have gone differently? You had great intentions, but it just didn't go off as intended.
I think there's always going to be those negative posts or those posts that don't go the way you want them to. But especially on if someone's posting something negative on your site or on your page, I think it's important not to ignore it. There's so many brands that just think they need to delete everything so that nobody sees the bad, but they're not really seeing the real story. You're not being authentic, and nobody is seeing how well you are taking care of your customers and those people that are following you on social media. So it's always important, and that's something I've always stressed to brands is if someone's posting something negative, a couple of things might happen. A brand that I was working for, they had such a huge following and they were so passionate about the brand that I really didn't have to say anything because they would come to my rescue before I even had to say anything.
Other people. Not involved in the brand.
Had nothing to do with the brand. They had such passion for the brand that they took up for the brand.
Wow.
On social. Or even if it isn't, then I would take the opportunity to show that I am listening so that anybody else that's watching or that, is watching those posts knows that I'm going to address that. you could take it offline to really get into the details. You don't have to share everything on social. Pull them offline and deal with it, but you just always want people to know that you're taking care of them.
Wow, that's incredible. Anything else, important takeaways that people need to know or understand as a result of this topic we're talking about in the space of social media?
I would say that just don't be afraid of it. I think there are so many people that are just, they're afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And social, you know, you're not going to make a mistake. You're going to learn.
Nobody's going to die.
Exactly.
From a bad post.
Exactly. We're not curing cancer here. We're having fun. Social media should be about fun and engaging.
Gotcha. Great, great point. Vanessa, it was a pleasure having you on today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. So ready or not, social media is your future and it's here to stay if you have a business. But as our interview today shows, it's not that mysterious. And like anything else, a skill that can be mastered with practice and persistence. So I'm Chuck Kaler, your host, and I invite you to join us again for another episode of the B2B Visual Digest, sponsored by Fast Signs International.